seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome to Drive Time Sports. We are live from the Sutherland Studios here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive. And today we got a fun show. We're going to mix up the local and national sports talk. Locally, we're going to be joined by Jake Atwood, athletic director at Emory High School. There's a lot to get in there because three new coaches that will be taking over next school year. Three different sports. Well, we have drill, volleyball, and girls soccer. So three new coaches joining the ranks at Emory High School. So Jake Atwood's going to join us. We'll talk about that. And then on the national side of things, we're going to talk Major League Baseball, 1 week away from opening day in Korea. Still 2 weeks away from opening day throughout the country, but the Dodgers and the Padres will be traveling to Korea. That's next Wednesday and Thursday. And I want to talk about the Dodgers because this is a team that has a ton of hoopla around it. The expectations are sky high, and rightfully so, right? They went all in the offseason, but I see one flaw with this team. Defensively, the entire left side of the field. Problems at shortstop defensively, problems at third base defensively, and I see problems in left field defensively. The Dodgers right now, for all the strength of this team, they don't have a shortstop. So you're taking right fielder Mookie Betts, who was going to be the full-time second baseman, and now Mookie's playing shortstop. I think Mookie's a phenomenal athlete, one of the best all-around players, if not the best all-around player in baseball. But this is a problem when you have to take a guy who's not played shortstop since high school and put him at that spot because you have no competence defensively there. What do the Dodgers do? Do they try to make a move? I think so. And the name that keeps popping up is Willy Adames, the shortstop for the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll talk more about that in just a bit. But the big storyline of Major League Baseball, it does involve the New York Yankees, as their ace Gerrit Cole has been shut down, and he is visiting a specialist in L.A. today for further testing on his right elbow. Now, Yankees manager Aaron Boone comes out today and says no timetable has been set for how long Cole is going to be sidelined. But he's already been ruled out for opening day, and the reports are saying 1 to 2 months. The Yankees, they're not quite to the all-in extent of the Dodgers. Pretty close. But I would see New York really erring on the side of caution here. But what does this do to the Yankees? I'll tell you, it's impossible to replace a guy like Gerrit Cole, one of the best in the game. When I look at that Yankee rotation, it does worry me. I like Marcus Stroman. I liked him a lot when he was with the Cubs last year. I thought he was phenomenal. If you have Marcus Stroman as your second or third man of the rotation, you're loaded. Number one, good news for the Yankees. Even if Gerrit Cole is going to be out for a substantial amount of time, there are some pitchers out there that would fill in beautifully. Like reigning NL Cy Young Award winner, Blake Snell, still out there. A week before opening day, and Blake Snell does not have a new team. Jordan Montgomery is another one. So there are options out there. Dylan Cease, also, his name is floating around trade rumors. Will the White Sox move on? Another guy that the Yankees could target. So we'll talk some Major League Baseball. We'll talk some local sports. That's what we have in store for you today. It's Drive Time Sports from the Sutherland Studios right here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Now, this local Castle Country sports update with Jordan Buscarini from KOAL.
Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini. We'll look at local sports. And today we begin with high school baseball, and the Corbin Dinos moved to 3-1 on the season yesterday as they topped the North Sam Pete Hawks 8-7 at home in the Region 12 opener. Corbin's offense came out on fire as they scored 8 runs in the first 3 innings. But it was North Sam Pete that battled back, scoring 4 in the 3rd and 3 more in the 7th to cut the lead to 1. In the end, Corbin found a way to hang on. Peyton Molinar finished 1-3 at the plate for Corbin as he brought in 2 RBIs to go along with a walk. Jace Barlow continued his hot streak at the plate. He also went 2-3, bringing in 2 runs and scoring 2 on his own. Mason Pritchard got the win on the mound for Corbin. He went 2 innings, striking out 4 and allowing just 1 hit. As a team, Corbin used 4 pitchers, giving up 6 hits and 6 earned runs. Now the Dinos are sitting at 3-1 on the season. They'll have an opportunity to continue their winning ways when they return to the field this weekend. They'll travel to St. George for 2 games on Friday and 2 more on Saturday. We stick with Corbin High School Athletics, but we move over to softball. And the Corbin Lady Dinos earned their first victory of the season as they topped the Delta Rabbits 18-2. Adria Beta collected 3 hits and 4 at-bats as Corbin picked up the 16-run win. Beta singled in the 4th inning, singled in the 5th, and singled in the 2nd, rounding out a stellar performance all the way around. Corbin jumped out to the lead in the top of the 1st inning after Kylan Sorensen drew a walk, scoring 1 run, then an air scored another, and Danica Adams singled, scoring 2 more. The Lady Dinos continued to roar as they picked up the 16-run win, scoring 8 runs in the 4th inning. The win on the mound went to Kylan Sorensen as she pitched 3 innings, allowing just 3 hits and 1 earned run. Adams came in a relief effort, going 2 innings, striking out 3. And the Lady Dinos softball team will continue their early season busy schedule. Coming up tomorrow, they'll travel to meet the Emory Lady Spartans in Castledale. Start time for the varsity contest is set for 3:30 p.m. We stick with high school athletics, but move over to soccer. And the Corbin Dinos will travel on the road this afternoon as they take on the Juab Wasps in Region 12 play. It's the first of 2 games this week for Corbin. The second will come on Friday when they welcome in the Delta Rabbits. The Emory High School soccer team will also travel as they participate in their second game of the season. Emory is looking to respond from a loss to Delta last week. They'll play host to the Manti Templars today at 4 p.m. The second game of the week for Emory will come on Friday. That's a road game with the Canyon View Falcons. And today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we'll catch up with USU Eastern women's basketball coach Chelsea Warburton. Coming up on Friday, the USU Eastern Lady Eagles will participate in the opening round of the Scenic West Athletic Conference Tournament. They'll take on Salt Lake Community College. It'll be the 3rd meeting of the season between the 2 teams. Friday's game will air live on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. And Coach Warburton will join Drive Time Sports this afternoon, beginning at 4. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're going to talk Emory High School athletics, and there is a lot to get into now that the spring sports season is off and rolling. Winter's been put to bed, and we are talking to a lot of new coaches as well at Emory High School. Joining us right now to go over all that, we have Athletic Director Jake Atwood. Jake, it's always a pleasure to get you in. So fun to talk Emory Athletics. I appreciate you making the drive down here to the studio.
Thanks for having me. Like you said, a lot going on right now, so good time to talk.
Yeah, definitely. Before we get into the winter spring sports, I want to talk about the new coaching hires because we do have a few to mention.
Yeah. We've hired 3 new coaches here in the last month or so. So Penny Stewart is going to take over our girls soccer program. We got Tressa Skinner taking over our drill program, and Carl Jensen just got hired as our new coach for our volleyball program.
Those are 3 pretty high profile gigs
too. Yeah, people know how they're doing. So I think we made the right decision on all these coaching changes and our coaching hires, and hope it works out. I think it will.
As far as the process, I know that there's a lot of pressure in finding the right person, right? Especially when you have 2 programs. Well, first off, soccer is coming off a year where they struggled a little bit. But there was marked improvement. And I thought that the team morality was always, the morale was always high.
Yeah, which you don't get on a zero win team very often. So yeah, Eric did a great job. He handled that as good as you could possibly have handled that situation. And then he had to step down. Just his kids are growing up and in middle school, and he needs to spend his time with them, and completely understandable. So Penny comes in. She's got a daughter on the team that's a sophomore. I think she's a freshman, but she'll be a sophomore next year. And Penny's been involved. They come from a soccer family, and she's got an assistant coach that I think will help her as well. So I think she'll do a great job.
And then we talked volleyball. Always big shoes to fill when you're coming in after a guy who won a state championship.
Oh yeah, yeah. So yeah, Ferd did a great job. Built a great program. You know, with his finishes in the state tournament, he did a good job. So Carl Jensen's our new volleyball coach, who's been the coach at Canyon View for a little while, Canyon View Middle School, and he did have a stint, I think just one stint, as an assistant coach at the high school, I believe under Chris Bell. So a little bit of experience. He everything Stephen Gordon tells me, that he's a heck of a volleyball player himself, you know, just playing on rec leagues and stuff. I think Stephen played against him in some co-ed leagues, and so yeah, we're excited to have him. I think he'll step in and do a great job, and he's coached a lot of these girls before at the middle school too. So yeah, we're excited to have him.
And then you talk about the third hire. It gets overlooked, but I think when you look at drill and cheer in general, though, that's two aspects that are so important to athletics at any level, specifically high school, college. Both drill and cheer play such a key role. Sometimes they get overlooked.
They do get overlooked a lot. And I'll tell you, that's one of the hardest positions to hire, because there is no drill season or cheer season. You know, they just had their spring show, I want to say on March 6th or something like that, and tryouts are the 18th. So there's no off season. It's a year-long gig, going you know, hours on end on practices, and so it's really hard to get somebody to commit to that much time over a full season. But anyway, we got Tressa Skinner. She came in as an assistant coach about halfway through this year, and really helped the girls through some hard times, and I'm really excited to have her. I think she's going to do a great job as well.
So we talk about the new coaches. Now we can kind of go back and look at the winter sports season, because it was exciting. There was a lot. I think there was a lot of enthusiasm from the fact that we won a state championship in the fall. Football had such a great season. Cross country had a terrific season. Like, there was a lot of momentum from fall going into winter.
Yeah, there really was. And our teams did great. You know, our boys had a good season. Boys basketball had a good season, went in as the number two seed, ended up losing, you know, in that first round down in Richfield to the eventual state champions, which is unfortunate, but they had a good season. And then our girls basketball team, I think they surprised everybody by where they ended up. You know, a lot of us expected us to have a good year. We built off of last year, and it was good to beat Judge in that first round, down in Richfield, 'cause they beat us last year. And, so for them to bring home some more hardware and a second place trophy, second place in state, and to beat somebody like Grantsville, and just a huge accomplishment, and that I can't express how much John Fimalo, how great of a job he does with that group.
And then we had a state champion wrestler, Monty.
Yeah, we actually had an assembly today at school and honored all of our winter sports. And I think Justin said that he's the second multiple time state champion in Emory wrestling. I want to say that's what he said, but anyway, yeah, Monty had a great season, and finished it off with another, apparently down to the wire, state championship. I didn't get to watch it. I was up at swim, but I believe it was 2-0 or something in the, I don't know if that was the final or the semifinal match, but yeah, a great job by Monty. Just great athletes all around. I really enjoy my job.
Yeah. Again, we're being joined by Emory High School Athletic Director Jake Atwood. Now let's fast forward. We'll talk about spring, because it seems like, okay, winter ends on Saturday and spring picks up on Monday. Like, there is no gap because we don't have a ton of time. We're 5 weeks away from the state tournament when we start talking baseball and softball.
Yeah, it's a short season. So, yeah, our girls played in the state championship game, you know, on Saturday night, and then that next Monday was tryouts for spring sports, and they're right into softball and everything. So, it's full swing right now. Our girls softball team just won a good game against Manti last night, and our boys soccer team plays Manti tonight. So, we're right in the thick of things. Boys baseball's been playing a few games now. They lost a tough one to Uinta on Monday, and they play a doubleheader against Canyon View tomorrow. So hopefully they can get a couple wins.
Yeah, we'll start by talking about baseball. So we have Chase Julian going into his second year. I love the conversations with Chase. Always love hearing about the baseball team. I feel like Chase has his program definitely moving in the right direction.
Yeah, one thing about Chase is he's got a vision for where he wants his program to go. Everybody might not see it all the time, but he, when you talk to him, he knows exactly what he's doing. And we've had the privilege, I guess, of having some young kids step in. So some freshmen's been stepping in where needed, and we've got some good senior leadership. So I think we've got everything we need to make a run in the state tournament. So we'll see how we do here in the near future. But I think we have the potential to be really good, yeah.
I think that expectation carries over into softball as well. We were just talking a couple of weeks ago about Brooklyn Ecker signing her letter of intent to move on and play past high school, and there's a lot of returners on this year's softball team. I think the expectations are fairly high there, too.
They are. They've played two home games so far and won both of them. They played Providence Hall last week and won a close 3-2 game, and then last night they played Manti, and it was tied at three going into the bottom of the sixth inning, and then we put 10 on them and 10 run ruled them. Our girls hit the heck out of the ball, and Callie Lake's been our pitcher. She's done a great job she allowed two runs in the first game, home game, and then three runs yesterday. But expectations, and those same girls, a lot of those same girls that won state in volleyball and second in basketball, they're on the softball team too, so they're not settling for an okay year.
Yeah. Which is a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Then aside from that, I know we haven't really had golf yet because we tried. We attempted to.
Yeah, we tried. We tried to have golf last week. Got weather delayed, and they're supposed to go on the road tomorrow, and hopefully we can play. And that's one thing about the spring sports. You never know what the weather's going to do. We had to cancel a baseball game today. Well, postpone a baseball game today because of weather. And I guess this time last year we had 6 inches of snow across most of the state, so at least it's a little bit better than it was last year. But yeah, golf's picking up, and then I believe this weekend our track team goes to their first meet as well.
I think that's everything. I think we've covered every sport.
Yeah,
there's a lot in spring, and it's just such a short period of time. I view the winter sports season as being the hustle and go, but I know for an athletic director, it's spring sports is a lot. It's kind of a storm, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a sprint. It's a 100-meter dash. I mean, you're starting, and then 7 weeks later, it's all over, and you got state tournament stuff. So that's the hard part. When you get a game that's rained out or you need to postpone it, there's not a lot of places to put it to get it in before the season end date. So we're trying our best, and our coaches, our maintenance people have done a great job getting the fields ready, and hopefully we don't have any more setbacks.
I know I talked to you already about the winter All-State academic. Every time we talk, we have to make sure we talk about the student aspect of these athletes. Always great things happening at Emory County. We had a number of kids that were recognized for that in the winter, and I'm assuming it's going to be the exact same in the spring.
Yeah, it should. Like I said, we had an assembly today recognizing those people. I didn't bring a list, but we had, I want to say, 6 or 7 academic All-State people that we recognized. And then also another thing that we recognized today at the school is we had two teams with the UIAAA, which is an athletic directors association. They got state champions for two sports. So our girls swim team got academic state champions for 3A and our girls basketball team, which means they had the highest cumulative GPA in all of 3A in the state. So hats off to them. Like I mentioned today in our assembly, not only are they good at basketball and swim, they're pretty smart too.
yeah. Well, we love seeing first place banners and trophies, but at the end of the day, that's what really counts, is what's in the classroom.
Yeah, it really is. And our teachers do a great job at supporting our student athletes, but they put in a ton of work to make sure they stay on top of their grades. They miss a lot of school with state tournaments and, you know, having teams like Delta and Canyon View in our region, we miss a lot. So hats off to them. That's all on them for keeping those grades up.
Well, Jake, I think we've covered everything. It's always fun to get you in, get an update on how the athletic department in general is going on at Emory. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about?
I don't think so. I think we covered everything. We appreciate you guys, what you do, and look forward to seeing you out at some baseball, softball games and everything.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you again for making the trip. It's always fun.
Thank you.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. Live from the Sutherland Studios, we're going to bring in Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher. He joins us every Wednesday to talk Major League Baseball. We'll go over the Gerrit Cole injury. We'll also talk about the Los Angeles Dodgers. Are there defensive worries in L.A.? I think so. We'll talk about that and more when we return. It's Drive Time Sports, and we're back right after this.
No sleep till!
Now, more Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Time for that Wednesday baseball talk. We're not that far away from opening day, which will go out of the country. We can get into that in just a moment. There's also a ton of storylines floating around the major league ranks, including the injury to Gerrit Cole, where he could miss up to 2 months and maybe even longer. What does this mean for the New York Yankees? We'll talk about all that and more. Joining us right now over the phone, we have former big league pitcher and now an analyst for the Giants on KMBR, Bill Lasky. Bill, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure talking baseball on a Wednesday, and as we're getting less than 2 weeks from regular opening day, 1 week from Korea baseball, where the Padres will play the Dodgers, it's that time of year. Injuries take place, new faces arise, but it's baseball.
It's baseball, and it's not a good baseball day if you're a New York Yankees fan. This is a team that, I know we're going to get to our predictions here probably next week or so, but Bill, this is a team that has so high of expectations. I think they did the right things in the offseason, and now all of a sudden you look at Gerrit Cole going down and you look at what this rotation may in fact look like. This is bad for the Yankees. I mean, you can't replace a Gerrit Cole.
100%, and he was the nucleus at starting rotation, giving you over 200 innings, Cy Young winner. And anytime you hear elbow, the first thing you hear is Tommy John, ligament issues. And if they're talking 1 or 2 months right now, then that ligament is definitely inflamed. Now the whole key is it inflamed enough? Is it tearing? Those are things that he's going to L.A. have to look with the doctor.
So let's look at this rotation right now for the Yankees. What do we have? Marcus Stroman, Carlos Rendon, Nestor Cortez. I'm trying to think of Clark Schmidt. Oh, man, Luke Weaver maybe at the back half of that lineup, or rotation rather. It's not good. I think that they're this, I don't know what you do. Does this, I guess, possess the Yankees to go out and look at a guy like a Montgomery, like a Snell, maybe pull off a deal with the White Sox for Cease? I almost feel like they have to do something, Bill.
Yeah, one thing I read today was Lorenzen. He's another one that they were looking at, a lower million-dollar man instead of the Snells and Montgomerys that are looking for $30 million a year. And, again, both those guys have not thrown all spring. Lorenzen hasn't either. You start looking at Dylan Cease, a name all of a sudden has appeared again with the Yankees, the Rangers. He's been throwing all spring. I do believe he's on 1 year left on his contract before he turns free agent. That's just my estimation. I might be wrong there. But he would probably be the one that would fit in that number one or two slot immediately for the Yankees. Again, the White Sox are holding a big bag. What do you have to offer us? And I think the Yankees probably have a better minor league system than what the Rangers have. And they looked at him in the offseason, but no deal was done. I think now with the word about Gerrit Cole, I think it's going to
It's a tough situation, no question about it for the Yankees. But, Bill, I got to ask you, when we look at the pitchers that are still available, here we are March 13th, the reigning NL Cy Young Award winner still without a place to play. I know you and I have talked about the idea of Blake Snell maybe ending up in San Francisco. That seems far-fetched now at this point. Where does he go? I mean, we are literally 2 weeks away from the start of the season.
It's frustrating, and I'm sure it's frustrating for him, thinking this was going to be a big market for him, as well as Montgomery, a few others too. You got another Clevinger's in there and a couple other pitchers that are probably sitting home going, what the hell is going on? But I really believe, I think these teams in Major League Baseball, 30 teams, have an abundance of young pitchers. When I look at the San Francisco Giants, you're talking about Logan Webb as the only starter right now that really has major league experience. You look at Kyle Harrison, a 22-year-old lefty that's got magnificent stuff. He was up and down last year. You got Jordan Hicks, who was really great as a reliever. He's now starting for the Giants. And then you start looking at Black, who's a young kid going through AA and AAA. Keaton Wins, another one that went AA and AAA, had a little elbow issues. And that's going to be the Giants' rotation. And you start thinking, wow, they're giving a lot of young players, a lot of young pitchers opportunity. Alex Cobb's about the only one that could fit in that rotation. He's coming off hip surgery. But it's not just the Giants. There's a slew of teams that are using their 3, 4, 5 starters as rookies, prospects, and they're going to see what they have to offer.
Again, our guest right now, Bill Lasky, as we talk Major League Baseball, some of the other storylines that are floating around. Outside of that, Bill, I'm going to go to the National League West, because here's the Los Angeles Dodgers that we deem to be this juggernaut, right? I mean, they've spent over $1 billion in the offseason when you look at the combined contracts over the length of those deals. Yet when I watch the Dodgers play in spring training, there is one big, big issue with this team, and I don't think it can be overstated. Defensively, the left side of the field stinks. They have some serious problems here. The idea of moving Mookie Betts to the full-time shortstop, Gavin Lux has proven that he's not capable of playing the shortstop spot. I think Max Muncy is still a defensive liability at third. And I look at left field with Hernandez, I see some problems on the left side of the field with the Dodgers. Have you noticed this as well?
Oh, 100% again. You know, you're hitting it right on the nail of the head today with some of these question marks that are happening in spring training. And who would have even known Mookie Betts is going to be your starting shortstop for the L.A. Dodgers? Here's a guy that was a pristine right fielder. They moved him to second base last year to give him some opportunity to play in field. And sure enough, now they're going to depend on him to play shortstop. And that is a huge, huge bargain, I would say, maybe a mystery, because we don't know what he can do at the shortstop position. That's one position that you just can't throw somebody in thinking, he's a great athlete. He's going to perform at the highest level. I just think the Dodgers, if you're going to look at a hole, it's going to be defense. They're going to score a bundle of runs, which that's probably Dave Roberts is saying, we'll score runs, but can we play defense in on the field that looks halfway decent, knowing where they're going with throws, knowing what they're doing? And now you got Gavin Lux at second base, and I saw a couple throws by him the other day, and it looks like Steve Sachs all over again, in the dirt, over Freeman's head. It's going to be, you know, a big, big gamble on this infield.
And when I look at what could still be available out there on the trade market, I go back to a name at shortstop that was mentioned all offseason, the Brewers and Willy Adames. And I look at where the Dodgers are at right now, the fact that you spent all this money in the offseason, if you can go out and get Adames, I almost feel like you have to do it. This is a guy whose name's going to continue to pop up. We know that he can be productive on, you know, both at the plate and out in the field. I just don't see Adames ending this season in a Brewer uniform, and I think these rumors are going to continue to intensify, but it seems like for the very first time in a long time, teams actually have the leverage over the Dodgers when we want to talk trade if they need a shortstop.
Adames and Adames is definitely that guy. I think that's one shortstop that even the Giants were looking at, because they have Luciano, a 22-year-old kid, and now they have Nick Ahmed as the next guy up at 33 years old. Of course, playing shortstop 10 years with the Arizona Diamondbacks, last couple of years had injuries. The shortstop position has definitely got big question marks right now, and there's not just one team. There's a few teams that are looking at them. Tim Anderson is another one that came up with Miami. He signed a big one-year contract over there. There are some holes, definitely, in the shortstop position. And I think what you're saying, Milwaukee could possibly make a trade. The Dodgers are strong, no doubt about it. They have 100 guys probably in their minor leagues that you could pick from. A strong minor league department could get Adames over to the Dodgers soon.
And if you look at a team like the Cincinnati Reds, for instance, this is another squad, Bill, that has been very, very reliant on their farm system. And you look at guys like McClain. I know you and I have talked about Ellie De La Cruz. It almost seems like they have a surplus at middle infield as well with a guy like Jonathan India. I'm still surprised India is wearing a Reds uniform. I didn't think he would be.
Yeah, India was a guy that was really thrown out there over the winter. And he signed a contract, and I thought they were going to try to trade him. It just didn't fit in. Now, all of a sudden, he's fitting in for Bell, the manager. He likes him, and we're going to see what he's going to do. Is he going to play multiple positions, maybe even an outfield? But I think the Reds have a very good team right now. They're playing good baseball in spring, a surprise kind of team. But I think they have a lot of nice parts on this lineup when they throw it out there for their starting nine, as well as their starting staff's gotten a lot better.
Again, our guest right now, Bill Lasky, as we talk Major League Baseball. Bill, a question that just really popped into my head. We're sitting here and we're talking about moving these players around to all these different positions. Has baseball changed in that regard? We'll go back let's go back to when you played, right, to today. And it almost seems like players not quite becoming positionless, but they're getting close. We're seeing more utility men today, and we're talking about big-name stars being moved all the way around. And I don't know if it's to prolong the career, the idea of taking a guy from right field, moving him to shortstop. The Padres did the complete opposite. They moved their shortstop out into right field. We're just seeing big-name players signing big-time money deals moved around more frequently than I can ever remember.
Well, you go back into my era, you maybe had one guy that did that, and he was more your middle infielder, second baseman, or shortstop that kind of filled in, you know, on a defensive replacement. You didn't have guys playing multiple positions, maybe a first baseman, you know, here and there that changed from a third baseman flipping over. But now it's guys that play multiple positions, you know, an outfielder coming in for the infield, or just like what you said, an infielder going to go play outfield. It has changed a lot, and I think it's just the multifacet of seeing how many guys can play multiple positions. I remember a story, a catcher coming into a spring training. Next thing you know, he had an outfielder's glove and an infielder's glove. And somebody asked him, what are you doing with all these gloves? He goes, I'm here to learn every position. That's the only way I'm going to get to the big leagues. And that's the kind of mindset some of these players are having going into spring.
It's almost as if, well, let me ask you this. Is this because of where contracts have gotten, where teams are spending $300-plus million on 10-year, 12-year deals? Does that have a lot to do with, well, you better be able to play multiple positions because we're going to get the full value out of this 10, 12-year deal?
I agree with that. I think that's one of the biggest things. And trying to get the prospects, trying to get younger players included in the roster where they can play multiple positions. I am just amazed, going back to this other thing with Mookie Betts. Now, here's a guy that played shortstop when he was in high school, and now they're going to depend on him to be that everyday shortstop at the big league level. It's a mental part of the game, physical part of the game, and you're taking one of the superstars in the game of baseball and trying to make him into a multifaceted player. I just scratched my head on it. Sure, he's going to say yes to it, but let me ask you, are you willing to put one of your star players in a position that he is not really ready for, mentally or physically?
No, no, not at all. I think what baffles me about this, and Andrew Friedman knows a hell of a lot more about roster construction than I do, but when you have the payroll that this team has, it's almost as if you're operating on a budget like the Colorado Rockies, right? This is something that I would expect to see from Chris Bryant. This is something that I would expect to see from an organization that's not spending a ton of money. When you've put this much into it, you mean to tell me you can't go out and find a formidable shortstop? Especially when you've passed on the likes of Corey Seager, you've passed on the likes of Trey Turner. Why take Mookie out of right field and move him to middle infield? It's Jason Hayward. That's a budget buyout there in right field, right? And that's who's going to get the majority of the time. You're going to see Hayward, you're going to see Chris Taylor, but those are budget buys, Bill. It doesn't seem to fit with the roster construction. That's why I question it.
Yeah, so correct there, and you know, you hit it right on the head. Here you have multiple positions for some of these players, but you're using Mookie Betts as one of your top-line players. And I say the mental side of the game, because he's learning totally different things now. Up the middle, where the throw is going to go to second base. You know, he's going to have so many ground balls and so many action on the side to try to get his balance of his feet and not get hurt with the balls going out to short left center field, where he's got to turn and go back there and hope that he can catch the ball or the outfielders call him off. There's so many different distractions when you're moving to a new position that you have to learn. And it's not as simple as everybody thinks. And now you're playing with one of the top-line teams, the L.A. Dodgers, and teams are going to target them. And now you got to look out for Mookie, you know, going across the bags, making the deep throws. It is a huge, huge responsibility on a young man that's a superstar to now go to a new position and be that type of player.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It doesn't make a ton of sense. But we can end with this, and we can speak on the Dodgers and the Padres here a little bit, because we are about a week away from the start of, as you mentioned it, Korea regular season baseball. The season will actually get underway when the Dodgers and the Padres travel out of the country for a two-game set. We know that the four pitchers, we're going to see Yu Darvish, and we're going to see Joe Musgrove, right, for the Padres. The Dodgers are going to throw out Tyler Glasnow. We're also going to see Yamamoto. He's going to make his debut. That's the 1-2 for both of these teams. We're going to have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning as well, Bill, to watch the openers of the Major League Baseball season.
Boy, I watched Glasnow the other day. He was lights out. He threw a 5 1/3 innings, no hits, one walk, punched out 6 or 7. He was on his game. He was just hitting spots, elevating the fastball, breaking ball was sharp, just a nice rhythm through the game, punched out the side in a third inning, and just literally hitting spot after spot. I was shaking my head going, what the hell did Tampa Bay do here? Why did they let this guy go? And why didn't they push him when he was playing there to throw more?
Yeah, and it makes me wonder how both of these guys, right, Yamamoto and Glasnow, how are they going to be used throughout the season? Is there a strict innings count on these guys? I don't really know the mindset here. Would you expect there to be a pretty strict innings count on both Glasnow and Yamamoto this season?
Most likely that first month. You know, you're going to build up the arm muscle. You're going to have fatigue. You're going to have a dead arm syndrome. It always goes through it. Sometimes a little bit in spring training where the velocity's down or the spin rates are down. But that's just a growing pain of your body and your arm getting in shape. I really believe you're probably going to see 5 innings out of these guys and go to the bullpen, and you're going to see 1-1-1-1-1, you know, the 4 1-inning guys. That's normal for, you know, usually in April. You know, you start your season's starting to end of March, but April weather isn't all that warm yet. So they're going to watch these guys. These two guys are your bread and butter in that 1-2 spot. The Dodgers are going to be rich in pitching, no doubt about it. A lot of guys coming back. You know, when will Kershaw come back? You know, that's my biggest one right there. I think he could add a lot to that rotation, even if he just gives you 5 innings. But, you know, Walker Buehler's another one that's amping up. So, you know, there are guys coming up for him that'll fill in spots. But those two guys right there, when you start looking at these two top-line starters, they're going to watch them. Just like the other side, on the other side with Darvish and Musgrove, your starters are probably going to try to do 5 innings. They're probably going to be up about 70, 80 pitches when they leave spring training. I know a couple of the Giants are up to 70 now. They got another start or two. And if they can get a couple, you know, times where they're in that 5-6 innings before they leave spring training to get that confidence and that boost mentally and physically to get their body in shape just with a little bit more to offer. But no doubt about it, when you're looking at end of March and April, they're going to watch them.
And then next week, when you and I are having this conversation, I guess technically the season will be underway, as bizarre as that sounds, right?
Yeah, the excitement going into Korea. I'm sure players don't really want to go there to start the season, but to go to another country and get more action from fans. And, of course, Korea baseball is so live right now. Jung Ho Lee for the Giants came from there and a couple other players. And I just think the excitement by going to an Asian country to start a season is pretty impressive. But I don't think there's too many big league players that are looking forward to it.
No, you know, we always talk about global branding in the NBA. I think that's one thing that professional league has done so much better than any other. The NFL is trying. We'll get regular season games in Germany and the UK. Is baseball doing a good job? I mean, you take a look at the big money deals. These are going to guys from overseas, at least this past offseason. In your mind, has Rob Manfred of Major League Baseball done a good job of globally branding MLB?
I think the start of it is going. You know, they did the Mexico City game last year with the Padres, and the Giants are going to do it again this year. And it's just difficult when you look at the stadiums and how the ball travels, and those are going to be on your statistics. And really, they're not Major League Baseball caliber stadiums. That's the only question I have with that. Sometimes, you know, when you looked at Mexico City, the one game, it seemed like 6, 7, 8 home runs were flying out of the park. Those are kind of the question marks I have when you start looking at you know, those games counting instead of an exhibition series, kind of. But I like the global idea. I love it if it can work. But the travel is another thing. I just don't think players really want to do that. Sure, it's, you know, a week before opening day at home. It's two games in Korea, a new lifestyle, a new look for American players to go over there and check it out. It's a good step, no doubt about it. Never going to pull back on doing that because, just like you said, global baseball has been going on forever. Now they're kind of uniting it with Major League Baseball.
He's Bill Lasky, always kind enough to join us every Wednesday to talk big league baseball. Bill, what do we have coming up this week on Extra Innings?
Well, I sat down with Kai Correa. Kai Correa was the bench coach with Gabe Kapler. He's now with the Cleveland Guardians. Had a nice chat with him this morning. And but Stephen Vogt, good friend of mine, the first-year manager with the Cleveland Guardians, what's he doing? How's the voice in that clubhouse going, especially with a lot of the veteran players? And is he going to be that type of leader having his first year in the big leagues as a manager? Of course, he was with the Mariners last year, but he's filling some big shoes. Terry Francona stepped away after 10 years. So we had a nice chat with Kai Correa, and then I caught up with Kyle Harrison, the left-hand rookie, 22-year-old, that's going to be in a rotation for the San Francisco Giants, and really talked about what's going on in spring training, getting those pitch counts up, working on his fastball that's in the mid-90s, and he's got a nice cutter, but he's working on a changeup. So we talked a lot about pitching, and you know when I talk pitching, I love to listen to the young pitchers and what their theories are moving into the starting rotation at 22 years old. But you can hear that on KNBR. I'll be on Saturday and Sunday. Some good baseball talk.
Bill, it's always a pleasure to get you on. I really do appreciate the time. Can't wait to do it again next week. Thank you.
Yep, we're good for another season. Looking forward to it. And again, Wednesday's a good baseball conversation with you, my friend.
I always look forward to it, Bill. Thank you again. That's Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher and now an analyst for the San Francisco Giants, kind enough to join us every Wednesday. Unfortunately, we are out of time. An hour's just not enough. I'm going to be back with you tomorrow. We'll be live at Ruben's Barbecue on Main Street in Price. We'll talk more local sports. USU Eastern women's basketball coach Chelsea Warburton will join us, and we'll continue to break down NFL free agency, and we'll talk some NBA basketball as well. A lot to get into on the show tomorrow. Until then, be safe. I am out.